maybe let's start and change our agenda a little bit. Okay, so let's go to our guideline on approval of action procedures. Maybe before we start, I see Ben. Okay, Ben is on the call. So we can go back to we can start with the first agenda item, which is welcome and roll call. So I welcomed you already. Everybody welcomed each other. It's a very polite group. And we have received apologies from the guard. Unfortunately, he cannot be on the call. So that first agenda item is about this SOAC accountability report. And I'd like to ask Ben, do you have anything to share with us? Any ideas what we should do next?
Katrina, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I went through it and I didn't see, as I said to Bart, I didn't see any red flags or anything that we should be unduly worried about. I don't know how other people may or may not have, responded to it, but things seem fairly okay with me, given that, we're going to have a review next year of the CCNSO, and I think that will fulfill any of the sort of accountability actions we would have to take under this report.
Okay, thank you. So you think there's nothing much to highlight there.
Okay.
So, I see that David and Stephen also agree with you that no red flags, so nothing much to worry about. Okay, thank you. Anyone wants to add anything? David?
Thanks, Katrina. David McCauley here. I agree entirely with what Ben said. The only thing I would mention, and Yoki mentioned it in her email about this, is there is a minority that would like to see the concept of a mutual accountability roundtable implemented. And that was an idea that was floated by one of the CCWG accountability experts in Workstream 1, Willie Curry. And I read it at the time and thought it was a good idea, but it could evolve into a circular firing squad if it were implemented. And the treatment that this SOAC subgroup gave it was each SO or AC is responsible for its own accountability, and that would be checked in periodic reviews. And I think that's the approach to take. So the only thing I wanted to say is there's a minority that may push the idea of a mutual accountability roundtable once a year where everybody sort of looks to critique everybody else, and I think it's probably better that that not be implemented, despite the fact that Willie offered it in good faith as a sensible solution. I think on balance it's probably better not implemented. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Any other comments? See some people typing in chat. Martin agrees with David, as does Stephen. Barclay?
Just one question. This is more for the group. Do you think there is a need, say, based on say, your research, is there a need to respond to the in the public comment forum, or just let it go and say something like put it somewhere in the action or in the minutes of the upcoming council call that the GRC has looked at it and there is no need to respond at this stage, something like this. So that's more a question of an advice of the GRC to the council. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bart. I see that David proposes to respond favorably, which probably would be good, because otherwise we respond only when we do not like something. This could be a way to show our support to the report. Anybody would volunteer to draw? Bart volunteered. Okay, good. Thank you, Bart. Bart will draft a favorable response to this request. Okay, thank you. Let's move forward then. Guidelines for approval action procedure. And here I'd like to start with I'd like to start with the new version of the process. Kim, could you please upload the PDF? So this is a slightly updated process that we that I shared with you last time. This still awaits some comments from Stephen. But this is really a very high-level graphical illustration of the process. So first, it begins with the moment when ICANN board adopts an approval action. Then we have a public comment period during which, in the beginning of the period, Citizens of Council informs the community of the process. And CCTLDs can submit their comments individually or collectively, for example, as regional organizations or something else. And at this point, Secretariat creates archive record to record all the communications around the particular action. Then the ICANN staff prepares the report on public comment and sends it to the Board of Directors. They may leave initial resolution as it was, or they may tweak it slightly. And finally, they adopt the document. And then send notification to empowered community administration. So it's ICANN secretary that delivers approval action board notice to the EC administration and decisional participants in this case. And then ECA directs ICANN board to organize, then they have to decide either community teleconference call, if it's optional, or only a community or both. I think that community forum is not optional. What is optional, though, is whether it's a community forum as face-to-face meeting during the upcoming ICANN meeting or community forum as a telecall. And then there's community forum during which CCTLDs are, any CCTLD can ask questions. And then if it's a face-to-face community forum, then starting the 21-day period starts at the end of the ICANN meeting, in the case of 21-day period, during which Citizens of Council will apparently need guidance from CCTLDs, and at the end, CCNS of Council will come up with the decision. There are three types of decisions, approve action, reject it, or be just neutral to that. And for this approval action to go through, if I may say so, they need support from three decisional participants, three out of five. Again, this is this is really, again, I stress this is really high level without much details. Bart was working on Gantt chart for that. Stephen is saying that it's pretty accurate based on his first comment and comment on this one. Now I'm glad to see that Stephen approves this high-level illustration. So, Bart, what about the Gantt chart? Can you share it now, or we'll do it after the call?
I'll do it after the call. I've started working on it. So.
Okay. So this is just to show the community. Hopefully, it's easier to understand what's going on. This is a part of a heavy bylaws language made visual. Yes, Stephen.
Just to give everybody an indication of where we are with this upcoming fundamental bylaw change, we are nearing the end of the 40-day public comment period. I believe it closes on the 17th, so I'm expecting a board vote shortly thereafter, which will, it closes, I believe, on the 10th, and ICANN staff, I believe, has to have their report on the public comments on the 17th. So we should see a board decision very shortly after the 17th of May, which will kick off this process leading up to the public forum and the Johannesburg meeting. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. And Stephen now is on behalf of EC administration fighting, trying to get community forum scheduled to normal hour. I really admire Stephen's stamina and determination to conquer the icon monster. Yes, Stephen.
I can give you an update on that as well. I've been in touch with Chris Despain on this topic, and he and I are scheduled to meet with ICANN staff in Madrid at the end of this week, and hopefully we'll have something sorted out going forward.
Okay, thanks. So, if we go to the actual draft, I saw loads of comments from an anonymous source. Anyone, whoever commented, whoever is the anonymous, will you step forward and share with us? Okay, that was Bart. Good. Okay, that's excellent. Well, now we know who was the anonymous guy. So any comments, anything you'd like to comment? Suggest that a lot of wording. Yep.
This is Bart. So this is part of what we discussed 2 weeks ago and has been circulated already. So version 5 has been circulated by Alejandra after the call. What I've done is go over it again and look at some of, say, I think typos, etc., and some minor changes. There is one thing that, although, and that's in section 4, I believe. If you can scroll down to section 4, Kim. Scroll down a bit. Oh dear. Where is it? There we are, at section 4.5. And this is probably a very fundamental discussion to have first as the GRC and then with the council and the community. And the question is, do you want or does the community and the GRC and council want to apply Section 6 of the rules of the CCNSO? And the rules of the CCNSO state that, say, 10% of the members can ask for a ratification vote of council decisions. And so, and the assumption is that ultimately the council, because of the timelines, etc., the council will take a needs to take an approval vote, so either to approve or abstain or object to the approval action. And if rule is, say, if the rules apply, then this vote is subject to a ratification or a call for ratification by the members. Effectively, it means that 10% of the members could ask for a vote, and given the time it takes, it will end up in an abstention from the CCNSO. So that's the real fundamental question that needs to be taken into and discussed by you. And what I've done is, say, you've got alternative one, so the CCNSO rule does not apply, and the alternative two, it takes into account, and it will put a lot of pressure on the timelines as well, especially if you take it into account, although it's not as bad as it looks. So that's more the background of the major choice in front of you, I would say.
Yeah, thank you. I think we should present both alternatives to the community and to the council. Personally, I think it's better to ask for input from CCTs and then at the end the council takes informed decision. Rather than in the very beginning of the process when council just votes on something and then only then CCTLDs can express their views. Both should be discussed. Stephen, please.
I think that letting it go to the community with the 10% ratification risk is worth doing, given the size of the CCNSO membership at this point in time. That's a lot of CCNSOs that would have to really have a different view on the issue than what council did. And I would like to leave that option in place. I don't think it would ever be executed. My actual concern with the language I'm looking at now is this business in 4.5.1 in both alternatives, where the consultation has to be announced on the website 2 weeks before the scheduled date of the consultation. I've always been assuming that what would happen is we would have, I'm speaking now as the ECA, have the community forum as early into the ICANN meeting as possible, certainly before the beginning of the CCNSO membership two-day meeting. And my assumption then was that, now with my CCNSO hat on, that the adults' contents of the public forum would be discussed during the course of the two-day membership meeting, and that would constitute the consultation of council with the membership, with the CCTLD community. So I'm not quite sure about all this two-week stuff because, yes, we could do that, but we'd be in the odd position of announcing on the CCNSO website prior to the public forum that we are going to be discussing this within the membership meeting. That's all. It just seems a little odd to be announcing this 2 weeks in advance, but I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about it. That's all.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yes, Stephen, I understand your concern, and when I started drafting this, I felt more or less the same way. However, if you, for example, look what is happening right now, and I assume this will happen, and that's the fundamental assumption. This will happen in future as well, that well ahead of the meeting itself, of a face-to-face meeting, etc., there will be announcement of time and date of a community forum. And this will allow, and that's why, I'd say at least 2 weeks before the consultation itself, this will allow that, say, in announcing this consultation, to take into account the time and date of the community forum, potential high level, say, whether it's a really, really contentious issue, for example, when assets of the company need to be dissolved, like Guyana function operator. So a major change, and not like this case. Say, then you want to have as many people involved as possible, and the consultation can be either at the meeting itself, or you do it post meeting together with a webinar, etc. But at least that you build in a mechanism for consultation, because the main driver for thinking this through. So as soon as the community forum is announced, effectively you've defined the 21-day period as well. So if you want either a voluntary or consultation of the CCs in case of the alternative two, so that rule applies, saying that's the softer way of doing it. In that case, you need every opportunity, and you will be informed before the community forum takes place, so you know the time, dates, etc. So it's not as bad as it looks, to summarize. Hope that clarifies.
Okay, I concur with that, although I would suggest that if we don't discuss this at the members' meeting immediately after the conclusion of the public forum, and the conclusion of the public forum kicks off the approval action decision period, the 21-day period that we're speaking of, if we don't start discussing this and the council make a decision as quickly as they can, we're going to run out of time in terms of the council being able to render a decision. That's all.
Yeah. No, and that's hopefully that has been taken care of. It. And that's why I wanted to or suggested to build a Gantt chart as well, so you have a more detailed view of the alternatives and the timelines involved.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I think this is a time when we need to ask for community's opinion. So I'll take this document and make it into final version without all edits, and then we send it to the all possible CC PLD community mailing list with this high level graphical illustration of the process, and together with the Gantt chart explaining both the alternatives, and we'll just ask for opinion, for their opinion. We need to explain what's at stake, and so you just need to find a way that suits us the best. Bart?
May I suggest that you take this, as GRC, take this up at the Joburg meeting as well to finalize it, in the sense of after the consultation, either by email vote on or by email decision of the GRC, so it can be submitted to council and they can approve it depending on the outcome of the discussions. Because I think this is worthwhile to have this discussion with the community at a face-to-face meeting, although it puts a lot of pressure on the need for the approval action in Joburg, but so be it.
Well, we definitely need the guideline, because we will need to, point out in the chat window, we will handle the bylaw change. We will have to handle this bylaw change, but have to do it 21 days after the end of Johannesburg meeting, which means that we need to approve the guideline, well, preferably before, but apparently during our face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg, there's no other option, because we need the guideline. Yes, Stephen?
As you point out, if we don't have a guideline in place for this, we're just going to be winging it for this first one that's coming up. And I'm not sure how council's going to do that. That's all. I was hoping to have this thing in place before the Joburg meeting, obviously.
Yes, that was the initial plan, but it looks like with all the discussions around it, we won't make it. But okay, let's see. Definitely, face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg is the last possible moment to adopt this guideline. So, I propose to send it to the community this week, and depending on the outcome of the discussion, then we will just need to make the final decision. Okay, that's approval action, and I don't want to think about rejection action. We don't have it on the agenda, but Stephen, maybe you would like to share something around the rejection action?
I have a partially completed draft, and I'm going to put that out in the next 10 days or so. I've been kind of focused on the scheduling problem. As you notice in the chat window, I point out a serious irony with regard to the current scheduling. But I expect to put out a first draft of that to the committee in the next 10 days.
Okay, thanks, because we have to start planning the session and writing script for our live simulation in Johannesburg, and Stephen, maybe you don't know that yet, but we withdrew our to organize this rejection action as a session, as a cross-community session, and we will organize it only
I am aware of that, which opens up the 9 a.m. Monday slot.
Yeah, oh, that's true, yeah. You saw that. So
we're going to do that, just as a quick question, Katrina, we're going to do that now within the meeting, correct? The
yes.
Members' meeting. Okay.
Yes, members' meeting, yeah. We're not going to do it Monday.
Okay.
Morning. Yeah.
We need
Monday.
To discuss that then offline.
Yeah. So, then let's move swiftly to agenda item number 4, is update and guideline council roles and responsibilities. Last week, I enjoyed a lot of public holidays, only 1.5 working days, therefore I can truthfully say that I haven't done anything on this guideline, but I saw there some, many people done some heavy lifting, Alejandra, and Bart, and Liliana, I see their comments there, thanks a lot, we only had some of these comments before the last meeting, but now I see many more of them. Anyone wants to say anything? Okay. If not, then again, I will try to go through all the suggestions and make it a cleaner version. And and then we will see how it evolves. Okay, then Bart.
Yes, before you go into, say, as Alejandra, I made the most, and I was the last one to do it, so I'm in my name, and probably there's some anonymous there as well. What I've done and what you will see is there are two sections around the chair and vice chair elections. It's first of all, it's a different order, and secondly, there's a little bit of difference in language itself and mechanism. So that's what you need to bear in mind if you clean this up and when you read this. But in principle, part of this is the chair and vice chair elections, which is the major one. And what I've also included as role and responsibilities of councillors, etc., is their roles around as CCNSO, as decisional participants. Although there are separate guidelines to it and how people are appointed, I think it's a good if we say in a consolidated way list them and list these roles. So that's included as well.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, if not, then IRP, and David sent us a very couple of the things that you can expect. These are key things. David, would you like to comment something more on the email this time?
Sure. Thank you, Katrina. It's David McCauley here. As this group knows, at ICANN 58, I gave an update respecting the role of supporting organizations and advisory committees in nominating panelists to the concept of a standing panel for IRP, which is now part of the bylaws. But for purposes of developing a guideline, and I personally think that would be a good idea for the CCNSO on handling IRPs, there are other provisions that come to bear as well, and those are the ones I noted in the email that I sent over the weekend. And if an SO were ever to become a claimant in an IRP, there are a number of things involved. It's analogous to what Stephen's been doing with NXD. There's a number of steps that will be involved that I catalog in this email that have some of which have very short time frames within which to react. And let me say two things about this. First, on the probability of getting involved in IRP, I don't think the CCNSO has ever been involved in one. I may be mistaken, but I don't think so. The likelihood is perhaps small, but we have to keep in mind that post-transition going forward, there are issues that could be the case. Right now, boiling in the ICANN world are issues surrounding geonames, two-letter, three-letter country names, top level, second level. I mean, it's all being stirred around in a pot, and over the next couple of years, decisions will be made that people may be concerned about. And so while the probability is small, it's not impossible to become engaged in an IRP. And then the second point, if one gets engaged in an IRP, it seems to me that there would have to be a, what I will call for purposes of this call, a case manager for the CCNSO, somebody that can react quickly, because rules of procedure and bylaws rules that affect IRP require fairly quickly turned around decisions, including picking one panelist to be one out of three on the panel. The way the bylaws work is ICANN picks a panelist, the claimant picks a panelist, and those two panelists pick the third panelist from the standing panel. There are quick turnaround questions with respect to evidentiary hearings. The group that I lead, the implementation oversight team, is right now developing rules, including rules on challenges to consensus policy, on joinder of parties that have common interests. And so there's many, and it's basically what I put forward in this email is there'll be things that would require certain decisions. And so boiling it down for purposes of this call, it seems to me that it would be wise for us to develop a guideline so that if it ever does happen, we could be prepared to act. Finally, the CCNSO could become engaged in an IRP, not necessarily just as a party, but the rules envision allowing another entity to file what's called an amicus brief, an amicus curiae brief, sort of a friend of the arbitration panel, when it has an interest in the outcome of the IRP, but it's not a party and doesn't want to be a party to the IRP. And filing an amicus brief would also entail decisions, and all of these entail some cost. And so it seems to me that the guideline would be well advised. Thanks, Katrina. I think that's all I need to say right now. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, David. That's really very helpful and excellent to have such an overview. Now, any questions? Anyone like to say something? No? I'm just thinking with all the guidelines we need to have in place, approval and rejection, I think, which will require a lot of effort from all of us. And all others that we already have haven't finished yet. Oh, God. I do not see how we can handle this one. Well, it also looks pretty complicated. Yes, David, please.
Thanks, Katrina. You raise a good point. We have a lot on our plate. With respect to rejection and approval actions, I think, in my opinion, they would be more immediately important because I think the chance of getting engaged in an IRP are probably slim. I think with the geonames issue, it's not impossible, but I don't think it's going to happen in the immediate time frame. And then with respect, this is a complicated area. I'm certainly happy to help draft the guideline if I could just get some help on, you know, boilerplate sections, that kind of thing. I'd be happy to take steps to try and help. It is complicated, but I am learning my way around it based on my work on the implementation team. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Oh, it's great to have you on board. And yes, I totally agree with you that approval action and rejection action are a priority. But at the same time, let's remember that we did not expect any approval action to happen anytime soon yet here. I've heard some people saying that we will see a rejection action perhaps in 10 years or so. I wouldn't be so sure, so we really need to have this these guidelines. And so when you say hopefully we'll not see, well, that means that tomorrow somebody will not come and all of a sudden we will have to deal with the situation. But at this point, I agree with you. Let's hope that there will be no any such activity anytime soon. So let's concentrate on approval and rejection action guidelines. Meanwhile, maybe if you could have this, we'll send you the high-level outline for the guidelines, so you could probably start putting pieces together and guiding the rest of us what to do and how to proceed. It's really would be wrong not to use your experience and all that you're already doing on that group. Bart?
Yes, just looking at this, David, would it, because say it's very helpful, this overview, but would it be a possibility to separate two things or one thing out, and that's the appointment of the role of the CCNSO as appointing decisional participant? If I read it correctly, if I understand it correctly, the CCNSO has a role in getting the IRP and the panelists into place and its role in appointing. That's one side. The other side is if there is an issue where the CCNSO is involved either as a claimant, etc. And that's an whole separate area where the CCNSO's role need to be described in a kind of guideline or however we want to call it. So would it be, could you indicate, not now, but maybe in an email, whether there are clusters of tasks that we could put together, as we did, for example, with the ECA, having a selection guideline and now working on an approval guideline, approval action guideline, and in future we'll do on a rejection action guideline.
Thank you.
Bart, David?
Thanks. David here. Bart makes a good distinction. That's a fair distinction. And there are actions that the CCNSO is going to be tasked with respect to establishing the IRP as a process. And that is more immediately important. And that's something that the implementation team wrote to each SO and AC about several months ago, and then that's what I spoke about in Copenhagen. And I know now I'm working with ICANN Legal, and they're working with ICANN Policy. We're looking to develop ways to sort of get this out there and get it more widely known. And so, Bart, that's a good point. I could do a guideline on our role in establishing the process and do that fairly quickly. And then the other guideline would be for the CCNSO with respect to taking action as a participant in an IRP, whether a claimant or amicus to the IRP panel. So I'd be happy to do that in two different documents. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
And David, I don't mind if you need some assistance, I don't mind assisting you there.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Thank you, David. Glad to hear that we have a plan. But about this part, I will send to David the structure, high-level outline structure of the guideline, and he will start putting together two guidelines with active support from BARC. That's excellent. Okay, any other business? Please do not forget that we have council election guideline. And Martin, you had some objections or suggestions to the guideline. Please put it into the Google document. I still do not see your suggestion there. As soon as you have it, we can move forward. Thank you. Any other business? No? Okay. If not, then our next meeting in 2 weeks on 22nd May. Sounds good. Hope that everybody can make it at the same time. I see no objections, no other suggestions. Therefore, thank you very much for being on the call. Thank you for all your comments, Google Docs. Please keep commenting. It's really helpful, and that's exactly what we need. Together, we're moving forward. So thank you very much, and see you in 2 weeks, and definitely in the mailing list. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you.